certainly feel overwhelmed with the greatness of my subject, and I think you'll see why when I give you the title of this message, The Son of God. The Son of God. I think it's interesting the way Mark begins his gospel account. He doesn't do what Matthew and Luke did. They gave the story of the birth of Christ. They gave the genealogy of Christ. Mark doesn't do that. Look how he begins. Verse 1 of chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look in Mark chapter 1, verse 34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. They didn't love him, but they knew him. They demonstrated much more respect to him than the average religious person in Lexington, Kentucky does. They trembled in his presence because they knew him. He suffered them not to speak. Our text says in chapter 3, verse 12, and he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. Now, why did he do that? There's only one answer. He wasn't seeking to gain a following. He was coming to save his people from their sins. That's why he said, don't make this known. They knew him, but they didn't love him. Look at Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, I beg thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, he knew who he was. What connection is there between me and thee? You're light, I'm darkness. You're holy, I'm evil. You're good, I'm bad. You're strength, I'm utter weakness. Have you come to torment me before the time? He didn't even suspect mercy. He knew who he was. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me repeat that. Jesus Christ is the eternal, only begotten. And that begetting is not an event of time. It's an eternal fact, irrespective of time. Jesus Christ is God the Son. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God as a distinct person, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Would you turn with me for a moment to John chapter 5? Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father. Look at these next five words. Making himself equal with God. Hear these words from the Gospel of Isaiah. Gospel. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son. He's not born, is he? He's given. He's the eternal Son. He wasn't born. He was given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. That means the absolute rule and dominion. He is an absolute sovereign control of everything. Always has been, always will be. The government is upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful. We use that word way too loosely, don't we? How was your meal? Wonderful. How you doing? Wonderful. Full of wonder. Okay. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. And I think it's interesting, that word is a verb. He is the one who says, I will do all my counsel. That means he counsels. That means he decrees. That means he's the one who determines everything. That's not talking about somebody who gives good advice. That's talking about the one whose will is always done. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, what all can I say about that? Can I explain that? I'm not even going to attempt to. Truly, his name is Wonderful. He's the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He made our peace with God. I mean, he made it, didn't he? He made it. And he, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, is our peace. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. There's not a passage that speaks more of the excellency and glory of Jesus Christ than this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, God. I love the way Hebrews begins. I love the way it begins with God. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by Son. Notice the his is in italics. By Son. Who is his Son? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Everything was made for him, by whom also he made the worlds. He's the Creator, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, you know what that means? That means without any help from me or you. I mean, you didn't make any contribution in this. He did this by himself. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Look in verse 8 of this same chapter. But unto the Son of God, he saith, this is what the Father says to him, but unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Aren't you glad? Don't you want him to be anointed above all else? In John chapter 1, verse 18, the Lord said, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. That near, dear relationship. He hath declared him. Now the eternal Son who inhabits eternity actually made many pre-incarnate appearances where he, before he became flesh, the Son of God, he appeared to Adam and Eve after they fell, walking in the cool of the evening, and provided that covering for them, took away that fig leaf covering they tried to make. I love to think of Abraham coming to Melchizedek. I don't have any doubt that Melchizedek is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without mother, without father, without beginning of days nor end of life, abiding a son continually. And you think about the way the writer to the Hebrews said, without contradiction, the less is best is blessed by the better. Well, Abraham is I wouldn't call any man, mere man, better than him, but I'd call Melchizedek better than him because this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he blessed him with bread and wine. Would any priest, earthly priest, a man priest, use bread and wine? No, they sacrifice blood. But this prefigured the Lord's table when this Melchizedek appears to Abraham and Abraham paid him tithes. It was the Son of God who wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life after that. It was the Son of God who appeared to Moses as a burning bush that could not be consumed. And I love what that tells us. That bush didn't need the energy of that wood to have the fire continue. That speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his utter independence. He doesn't have any needs. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. We need him, but he has no needs. He didn't need the energy of that wood for that burning to keep going. And that wood couldn't be consumed. It kept burning. That's the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't be consumed by the wrath of God. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3 for a moment. He was the Son of God before he ever became the Son of Man. I think this is one of the most thrilling passages of Scripture in the Word of God. This is after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been thrown into the fiery furnace. Beginning in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And you'll remember it was so hot that the men who threw them in were consumed by the flame. They couldn't take it. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of them, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like to the Son of God. How did he know? If you see him, you'll know. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and let's read about his birth. beginning in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How should this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." We know very little about his first 30 years on this planet. We're only given the one story when he left his, or stayed in Jerusalem when his parents went back and spoke with the doctors and teachers of the law, and his parents came back after him, sorrowing, "Son, what have you done?" He said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, he is the Son. Now, after 30 years of keeping the law perfectly as a man, he begins his public ministry. And he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. And can you imagine how John felt? "I have to be baptized today." He knew who he was. Not many other people did, but he did. "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And he suffered him. And when John the Baptist lowered the Lord into the water and brought him back up, a dove came down from heaven, the Holy Spirit, visibly, bodily descending upon him, and a voice came from heaven. And you know what it said? "This is my beloved Son, in whom," and I love that, "in whom." He doesn't say "with whom," he says "in whom." Everybody in him is included in this. "In whom I am well pleased." And there was somebody else that was there at this time. Satan. You can bet that Satan was watching the Lord Jesus Christ every moment of his life. And he heard that voice come down from heaven. And what does he do? In the wilderness when he's tempting him, "If you're the Son of God." He called it into question. "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God." That's what's written. "If you're the Son of God, prove it, demonstrate it. Jump off this temple," because the Scripture says, now he goes to the Scriptures. The Scripture says, "The angels will bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." If God testified, "This is my Son," nothing else is needed. No proof is needed. That is the Word of God. When he preached that message in John chapter 6, early in his earthly ministry, he'd fed 5,000 people, and after they heard the message, the Scripture says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't like what he said. They said, "These are hard words. We don't like hard words." And he looked at the 12 and he said, "Will you also go away?" I love Peter's answer.
To whom shall we go? It's not like we have an option. It's not like there's any other place to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. These words that they find hard words, we find them to be words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ,
the Son of the living God. Now, I've said this recently, but I am going to say it again because I like saying it. He's the Christ. He's the prophet like no other prophet, because every other prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord." He said, "I say it to you." He's a priest like no other priest. Every other priest brought the blood of bulls and goats that can never take away sin, but he brings his own blood which takes away sin. He's a king like no other king. Every other king has borrowed power. He is inherently King of kings and Lord of lords by virtue of who he is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, the issue is, who is Jesus Christ? That's really the only issue. Who is Jesus Christ? You'll remember when he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, "Whom say men that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, they say some good things about you. Some say you're John the Baptist, one of the prophets. They put you in some high cotton." Not really. Not really. To compare him to any man is greatly derogatory to the glory of his person. He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the issue. Who is he? Now somebody says, "Well, I bet everybody believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Ask him. Well, I realize that, but there's a problem there. The God that they speak of bears no resemblance to the God of the Bible. And the Christ they speak of, the Jesus they speak of, bears no resemblance to the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. So to say, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God," well, if you know who God is, it means something. If you know who Christ is, it means something. But if you've got some kind of make-believe God, make-believe Christ, their non-existence, it's meaningless. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. If you believe this, God revealed this to you. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this confession of me, who I am. You see, that determines everything else. Who he is determines everything else. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Oh, aren't you glad that Christ is the builder of the church? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll pluck out everybody, knock the doors down, and save everybody I intend to save. You see, the one who is the Son of God, I wish I could say this correctly, you believe he's the Son of God when you believe that all of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in his body. That's what it is to believe he's the Son of God. You believe he has fullness of sovereignty, fullness of omnipotence, fullness of omnipresence. You say, "How can that be?" Well, he said, "No man descendeth from heaven, but the Son of Man who's in heaven." Well, I'm standing here talking to you right now. I'm there. He's God. Fullness of immutability, fullness of every attribute of God is expressed fully in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you believe that and you find it necessary to be. He can't save you if he's not like that. That's what you need. That's who you need to save you. You're relying on him. That's what this means, to believe he's the Son of God. He heals that man who had been born blind. And then he asked him this question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" I love his answer. Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that speaketh with thee. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, I believe. And what happened? He worshiped him. You see, anybody who sees the Son of God, this is the natural consequence. You will worship. You will worship him for who he is. I can't help but think also, when I'm thinking of this thing, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord, he gives them a view of his deity. They knew he was man, and then his deity burst through his humanity at this time. And Peter and James and John are watching. Can you imagine how they felt? And then Moses and Elijah appear at that time. And I love the way the Holy Spirit has told us what they were talking about. They spake of the decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That's what they were talking about before the foundation of the world. That's what they're going to be talking about when time's no more. That's everything. They spake of the decease which he should accomplish. Oh, Moses and Elijah, they were saying, we're going to be saved because of what you're going to accomplish on Calvary's tree. That's why we're saved. They were glorying in that. Then answered Peter. Nobody asked him anything, but he answered, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, he couldn't have said anything worse than that. He's putting the Lord Jesus Christ in the same plane as Moses and Elijah. That was bad. That was bad. And they knew it real quick because a bright cloud overshadowed them. They hit the dirt. And a voice came from that cloud. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And they got up, and I love the way the scripture says, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now when they came to arrest Christ, they come up with swords and staves, a big group of people. People estimate anywhere between 500 and 1,000 people that came to arrest Christ at this time. And he said, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. Where it says he, that's in italics. I am. And I love the way the scripture says they fell backwards. That big group fell backwards. He's the great I am, the Son of God. And he's letting them know at this time, I'm not your victim. I'm in control of you. This is my will being done. That's exactly what he's letting them know by that action. Well, he lets them arrest him. They bring him before the high priest. And the high priest says in Mark's account, are you the Son of the Blessed? He said, I am. I am. In some of the other accounts, he said, you say it, which I guess is saying the same thing. I'm not real sure why he said it that way. You said it. You said it. But here in Mark's account, he said, I am. I love it when the Lord says, I am. Before Abraham was, what? I am. I am that I am, the name of the Son of God. It was he that spoke from the bush. I am that I am. Tell them, I am hath sent thee. And then he said, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the priest said, crucify him. And they got the people shouting, crucify him. They bring him before Pilate. Pilate says, I find no fault in him. And they reply, by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. And the scripture says Pilate was the more afraid. He was scared to death at this time. And he comes up to the Lord and he said, don't you know? What's this they're saying? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? He said, you have no power at all over me, except it be given thee from above. When he's nailed to the cross, they pass by mocking him.
If you're the Son of God, come down and save thyself. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And there's never been truer word spoken. For me to be saved, he could not save himself. What restrained him when they were questioning his sonship? Because he knew he had to carry this out for the salvation of his people. When he finally cried, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." You know what that Roman centurion said as he saw the earthquake when this took place? "Surely this was the Son of God." Now, let me close with these statements. This is the content of faith. When the Ethiopian eunuch asked, "What hinders me to be baptized?" he said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." 1 John 5:1, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Here's a second statement I want to make. This is the content of the gospel. Turn with me to Romans 1. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And the gospel of God is the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Now there's the gospel in those verses. And this is the content of our preaching. Always. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word to you, toward you, was not yea and nay. For the Son of God," there he is, "for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay. Does his blood accomplish redemption? Yes. But not if you don't fill in the blank." That's yea and nay preaching, isn't it? "Is salvation all of grace? Yes. But not if you don't do your part. You'll fill in it." That's yea and nay preaching. There's no truth to it. It's utterly contradictory. It's wrong. "The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea, for all the promises of God in him are yea." Yes. Positive. Saving. And amen.
so be it. Finished. This is it. Unto the glory of God by us. Now, would I be making any kind of overstatement if I said Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the gospel? Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the revelation of your Son. Lord, we ask that you would teach us that he is the gospel. He is the content of the gospel. That he is the object of faith. That he is salvation. And enable us to rely completely and solely on him as our salvation before you. In his name we pray. Amen.